The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, Gothamites. Welcome to this episode of Gotham Undercover. We are on episode 89.
That's right.
Why are we not on episode 90?
Well,
this is season finale. It should be episode 90. But I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And welcome again to Gotham Undercover.
Mm-hmm.
Again, episode 89. I'm sorry. I'm a little off kilter right now. We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
And this week, we're talking about No Man's Land. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Talking about a way to close out a season.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. It was so cool. And I really liked the fact that we kind of had a carryover with Nathan Hope from last week, continuing on this week. And then we also had John Stevens and Seth Boston writing this episode. Now, John is a producer on Gotham, but he's also a producer on the new show coming out, Metropolis.
Excellent.
So kind of cutting his teeth there. And Seth has done work, kind of crew work on Gotham and the Mentalist. So this is his first real big thing that he's done. As
the
far
Mentalist?
As
you're kidding.
No.
I've never heard that show in conjunction with this one. Yeah.
Indeed.
Wow. Just, I'm blown away. And can I just say, this finale blew me away. And in contrast to another finale on this same network, Lucifer, that ended up like kind of leaving it in a place where I wouldn't be like so incredibly messed up if it didn't come back. I mean, I'm glad it is because it was a cliffhanger. But, you know, I wouldn't have like, I wouldn't have agonized over it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a setup, definitely. But it's like, hey, this is where it becomes Batman. So, hey, you know the rest of the story. But, you know, on Lucifer, they completely left it as a huge, I mean, who knows what comes next? There's no context, and then axe canceled. So yeah, I'm just so pleased about this. So
yeah, definitely they did a amazing job, and it was really cool to see. I mean, even watching it multiple times, you're picking up bits and pieces. So it's definitely a great thing.
I agree. I'm amazed by some of the long haul bits.
Oh yeah.
And then some short term issues as well, and some new boomerang things that they're throwing at us as well that are gonna it's gonna come back at us. Next season, they've said, hey, yeah, we're going to include these. I mean, I love that they throw these little characters at us at the end of a season and say, yeah, they're going to be back next season. And they did it again this season as well. So, and a character that we haven't seen yet that they've also said for next season, which we'll talk about as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a cleanup feedback. From last episode? Okay.
Yeah, so Bat and Jordan, new to our group, but not a new fan of the show. He's been a fan for a long time. I got him involved, and he let us know that he was going to give us some feedback before and after the show. So this one really deals with last week, so let's take a listen.
Hello, Gotham Undercover. This is Bat Jordan calling from Georgia. I'm a new listener. This is my first time calling in. Jeff sort of recruited me over here to the Bat Cave to come hang out, and I'm glad I did because I loved your review of One Bad Day, and it was a good time for me to hop on to your podcast because this was honestly my favorite episode of the entire series. And I'm a huge Batcat shipper. So it basically, if you put three of the greatest live action Batcat moments ever into one episode, it's a pretty sure bet that it'll be my favorite episode of the series. And it sure was. First off, I want to touch on a couple of things you were talking about. You guys were talking about how Batman is broken, and you brought up that Catwoman's broken too. And what that brought to mind for me is a quote from Tom King about why they work so well together, why their relationship works, and why they're meant to be together, which is that they're two broken pieces. And because they're broken, they have the edges that fit together. That's a quote from Tom King. And I love that. And so anyway, what you guys were saying totally brought that to mind for me, and I agree. But moving on, in terms of the thing, I want to focus on the three Batcat scenes from this episode that I loved so much. The first one, of course, when Bruce and Selina are working together, and Selina tells Bruce, "Bruce, I'm going to be here whenever you need me," because that just, and Jeff, you brought it up too, that brought tears to my eyes as well, because it just, yeah, it shows how she's always got his back and how much she cares about him and how she's going to be there for him. And then the second scene was when she snapped him out of Scarecrow's fear toxin, and she just put her hands on his face and said, "Bruce, look at me." And I love that scene so much because Bruce and Selina understand each other better than anyone. And they have this connection that goes deeper than their connections with anyone else. And that's what it's Bruce's love for Selina that was able to get him to snap out and realize that he was under the influence of the fear toxin. Then, of course, the final scene was my favorite, which is finally, after so many fake outs this season, we finally got another Batcat kiss, and it was beautiful. I loved that scene so much. As soon as Alfred left the room, despite being faked out several times this season, I knew it was coming. I started tearing up as soon as he walked out of the room, and then I was just bawling tears of joy when the kiss finally happened. I was so happy. Those tears of joy, unfortunately, turned to tears of sorrow at the end with that devastating nod to the Killing Joke that just crushed me, but I mean, amazing scene, and I'm so pumped for the season finale. But yeah, I was so happy with what Gotham did in this episode, particularly with my OTP, the Batcat relationship. Batcat forever, from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye. Talk to you guys later.
Awesome. Thanks
you, Jordan.
Bat Jordan. Yeah. Great feedback. I'm also kind of a Batcat shipper myself.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, and oddly enough, that is one of the reasons why I did not give this episode a 10, because of the fact that she's not featured in it very much at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's part of the deal with that. But, man, what great feedback. I love it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Georgia, hello. I love Georgia. I'm rather new to the state, but I love it already. So you brought him on board, huh?
Yeah, because we're talking in Arrow Squad on the thread about how difficult it was to go last week from last week's episode into Arrow, without any break. And then I said, "Hey, come on over." So, but anyway,
excellent. Yeah. Well, welcome, Bat Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so on to this week's episode, and shall we give our ratings?
Indeed. I gave it 9.75 bat signals.
And my God, chills, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so much of this episode was, to me, pitch perfect. It was a summing up of everything that we have gone through. And I had to take it down a little bit because of I'm kind of unsure what the future holds for Selina and what they're going to do here. So that's why I took it down. But, just so good. So good.
Yeah. I give it a 9.5. So similar to you. I feel the same way. Selina is disappointing me a little bit. Not a lot. I didn't like that it was just like, "Don't leave me." And then he had to go. And then he kind of sends her off with Alfred. And it's like, okay, she's going to wake up and Bruce is going to be gone. So I was a little disappointed by that. But otherwise, it was just kind of an all-around amazingly action-packed, awesome episode. There was a lot of really great stuff in it. But, you know, I want her to become Catwoman so bad that that this is kind of making me anxious. So I don't want her to be Oracle. That's what's kind of setting me on edge, and that's why I only gave it a 9.5. Otherwise, I think it might have been a perfect 10 for me.
Yeah, that, and we saw we got to see a lot of people in this episode, but we didn't see Poison Ivy at all.
Right.
And that's another reason I took it down, because I think after all the hubbub of recasting and redoing and getting a new Poison Ivy, we didn't even get a second clip, in this final episode.
Right.
So that's another reason. So.
Agreed. We didn't even get an ending, she's taking over part of the city thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That would have been perfect.
They could have filmed months ago if they had wanted to do that. Hmm. So I agree with you. Not perfect, but pretty darn close.
Yes.
Okay, so I have some storyline titles. There's a lot of them. I want to rename this one on the fly here. I have it as Being Rash. Okay. Raish, actually. But I want to say Raish Decision instead of Being Raish. And of course, this is like the bomb storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Dying All Over Again. This is the Oswald storyline, and it's mirroring Raish's as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Pressing the Issue would be the Ed and Lee and all that storyline, which is a minor storyline, but it still kind of needs to get talked about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have all the No Man's Land things at the end, which we can bring up each one when we get there.
Yeah.
So let's do that last. Is that good? Shall we talk about Ed and Lee?
Yeah. So this was very interesting because Ed, basically, he's going to make sure that Lee gets to that next level. And he sees Jim as this big anchor that's holding her back. And so he thinks if he can get rid of Jim, that she can push through to this next level. And I love the dialogue in this storyline because it really shows you who Lee is. It really shows you that, listen, I'm more than what you two are thinking that I am. You think you can, make me into the person that you want me to be, but that's not going to happen. I really appreciate just her depth and the writing that went into her in this storyline because of who she is and who she's become over these past few seasons. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like that there has been absolutely no evidence that he is the anchor that's pulling Lee down. No evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's so paranoid from being kind of bipolar, he is manufacturing this insecurity. Mm-hmm. And he decides to kidnap him and torture him until he dies. And Lee walks in on it and is just so sarcastic. Okay, are you in love with me still? No? Okay, great. Guess what? We're never getting back together. Okay? Is everything good? All right. And then she's like, bye, Felicia, and off she goes. And Ed is like, guess what? I won. Hands him the thing and walks out the controls. And I liked that scene right there more than anything else, I think, with the whole storyline. And, of course, she's bluffing. while he's not the anchor that's pulling her down, she is not all in with him, which we speculated.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think Lee looks at these guys, and both of these guys are not who define her, but they are pieces to who she's becoming. So she feels responsible kind of to both.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not going to let Ed finish Jim, but she's not going to fully commit to Ed because she knows, you know, what's behind him. And so you see that you know, wanting to honor where she's come because they've helped, but not wanting to be the person that they want her to be.
Right. And remember, she knows that he killed his first girlfriend out of jealousy. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she can see where this is going.
Mm-hmm. And she brings that up in the right. second scene there.
Right.
That, you know, you were just going to kill me someday, you know, and right. he's got
so
the knife out.
I have to preempt this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they Romeo and Juliet each other there.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just so interesting. They are characters that I'm like meh on, to be honest, right now. I mean, I love Ed, but the storyline with Lee is not my favorite. But with this little ending they had and then going to visit Hugo there while they're dead has elevated it, I think, to
me. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I like where they were in the Narrows. I like Ed trying to struggle with himself and all that. And then when they started, you know, dating, quote unquote, and him getting jealous about James, I was like, oh, come on, let's make him interesting again, you know? So they did to mm-hmm. me. And I think Lee was super interesting in this episode.
Yeah, she's been very interesting all season.
Right.
Because she's gone through these changes, and it feels more natural than some seasons that she's been a part of.
Mm-hmm. Last season was bad for her.
Well, it felt like some of the time that she was basically a person that was being used as part of plot device.
Right.
And yeah. It was like, we're gonna use her to move other stories along. Whereas this season, the storylines felt more organic. But what I'm kind of worrying over is what, like we brought up, what is Hugo going to do with her?
Yeah.
I mean, because you feel like she is so into helping the people of the Narrows and being there for them, and you have something that's going to totally change her. And so what is Hugo going to do? So that's right. The scary part for me.
Now, remember, he can't do the same things that he used to do.
Right.
And what he did recently is make Butch human again. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's able to do some things, but it's not like he can, like, experiment to the point that he used to. Like, you know, he can't make right. Iceman and all that
yeah,
stuff.
He doesn't have those chemicals and that equipment anymore. So,
right.
Yeah.
But he is still quite dangerous when it comes
yeah.
to things
mm-hmm.
like that. So I think we're not going to see stuff like Fish, you know, being able to manipulate people. And we're not going to see like amazing superpowers coming out of these two. But they will be fundamentally changed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he'll probably go more crazy.
Yeah, I think it's just going to push him over the edge to become, you know, that Riddler character. Whereas instead of being two personalities fighting back and forth, you're going to have a more united but yeah. crazier personality.
All Riddler all the time, I
yeah.
think. And, you know, there's no Lee in the comics, really. Not this Lee, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they can do whatever they want with her.
mm-hmm.
and get away with it. A lot of people are theorizing that she's going to be Catwoman, and I'm like, no, let's not.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
Me either. I want it to be Selena, and if they don't make it Selena, I will riot. I promise you that. Okay, so yeah, that's tantalizing to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's talk about Butch.
Yeah, this storyline was so interesting because we finally get Hugo, and Hugo is excited about the prospects of getting to kind of work on this guy who's got no heartbeat, and he's kind of come up with the idea of how to revive Butch and
de-Frankenstein him.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're excited about this. And, you know, this turn with Oswald really surprised me.
Me too.
And that tells you how good the writing is.
Right.
Because when they're bringing back something that happened, what, two seasons ago, and you're like, you're a crafty little devil,
right?
Oswald, because of all the stuff that he finds Hugo. Hugo reverses the process on Butch.
Mm-hmm.
You have this happily ever after kiss, I love you, with Tabitha and Butch, and now that everything is hunky-dory, boom. He kills Butch
now,
just to get back at Tabby. Ooh!
Just in this episode, mind you, he saves Tabitha.
Yes.
Saves her life.
From Jeremiah.
Right.
Oh.
Just so he can reunite them and kill Butch in front of her. And I like that when he's alive and everything, he says, I just want you to know I was so happy to do this for you because I consider you a true friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to know that I am incredibly sorry. And then,
Boom.
Dead. And then he breaks the news. Did you really think I would forget that you killed my mother?
Mm.
And my jaw dropped.
Oh.
Because, hello, two seasons. I mean, seriously, writers, could you be any better right now? That was insane. And, thank you for picking that up, because we did mention that, you know, they kind of drop plot points like that, that, you know, they're working together, but hey, you know, she killed his mom, or, you know, all this. It was months ago that we brought up, I think it was even Tabby killing his mother and Butch doing something else to him. And, you know, well, you know, they're all villains, so of course they've all done something to each other.
Right.
But no, the writers remember.
Yeah, and that just tells you how good this crew is. I mean, to bring that back around and to say, you know, he's like, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and she's like, I'm going to kill you, and he's like, you can try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we know, he's pretty resilient.
Yeah. Mm.
And again, we see people underestimating him. And you notice, I think he was putting off finding Hugo because of this. Not because he wanted to keep Butch around, but because he didn't have the right timing for Tabitha to be there.
Yeah, Tabitha had to be there, and he really had to know that the love was there on Tabitha's side, too.
Right.
Because she's had that reluctance, and especially more reluctance since Butch was Solomon. But when he truly saw that the love was there between both of them, it just wasn't one-sided. He knew that this was the time.
Yep. It's my time. I'm leaping on it. And wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just kudos, writers. That's all I can say. That was a brilliant, brilliant storyline. I think that might have been my favorite storyline in this episode as a standalone.
Right, because it just blew you away.
Yeah, it did. It was a shock. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew the other storyline was coming.
Right.
You know, we had predicted, yeah, they're going to cut off the city. So it wasn't mm-hmm. a shock. But man, this one, I honestly couldn't have told you it was coming to save my life.
Exactly.
Ugh. Wow. And, you know, Butch, actually, the actor that plays Butch wrote a letter to the fans, and it was heartfelt.
It was so good. I thanked him on Twitter from our account, you know, really thanking him for, you know, his acting on the show and his being there, because that letter was just so good.
It was.
And he really realizes, you know, what kind of fans that are out there and how much fun that really he had on the show over these seasons. So it was good.
So good. And that's the sign of a great cast, that, you know, they must all get along and all really love being there and doing their job, because that's love. That's true love for that job, that cast, that show.
Right. And Drew did such a good job playing different versions of Butch and then playing Solomon. He's just had fun with the characters. And that tells you about this show, too, is you can have enough meat that you can be stretched and grown and just have a blast with all the different incarnations that are thrown at you.
Yeah, I agree. I'll miss him.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Let's talk about the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the whole Being Rash. It's the whole big story. I named it Being Rash because, of course, Rash shows up at the end of the last episode and pushes Jeremiah to cut off the city with the mm-hmm. rest of these bombs. And he helps him to set up the whole rest of this plan. Mm-hmm. I am guessing Jeremiah wouldn't have been able to do all this without Raish.
I don't think so, because he, after last episode, he just didn't have the people to help.
Right.
So we needed the League involved. I mean, he could have planned and done some stuff, but not to this scale. There was no way that he could steal back all the bombs from the GCPD and the trucks and all that had to be done, much less planning one under the mayor's building.
Right, right.
So no way that he would have been able to do it that quickly.
Agreed. And, you know, even just getting out of the precinct, that mm-hmm. was a whole, you know,
so
League thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was so cool, because the whole questioning in the precinct.
Oh, man.
We had Jim doing the Dark Knight version.
Yeah.
And then we had Silence of the Lambs with,
right. Oh,
with
my God.
Jeremiah and Bruce. I'm like,
so
oh,
Silence of the
goodness.
Lambs. In fact, he was Silence of the Lambs pretty much through the whole thing, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he was
asking
Hello?
For the coffee, and yeah. I'm going to press charges against Alfred.
I'd like to press charges against Bruce Wayne's butler. My face doesn't look too good. I think it looked great. I loved James being so cavalier about stuff,
yeah.
too. I think he looked great. It was so funny. He's just shrugging, like, you know, that line was so throwaway, and it made me laugh out loud. But yeah, the police, you know, doing that thing with their sticks on the prison,
yeah.
on the bars, you know, trying to rattle him. And he's just sitting there kind of with his legs crossed and smiling Ooh. At them. Oh, he's so creepy.
And just, you know, I'm an engineer. We make contingencies and black backup plans and things like that. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And then when the bomb takes out the mayor's and you see how desperate Jim is to get answers. Oh.
Right. Now, of course, he didn't make those contingencies. Raish just planted one bomb. in order to make it look that way.
Right.
And then they broke him out after Bruce came to see him. And, of course, they tell Bruce, you know, through kind of hinting that Raish is back, which, man, how did he come back? How does that happen? Because didn't he dissolve already?
No.
Yeah, I know, but still, he was dead.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, and then they brought him back, and then, you know, it's just one of those things where you've got to...
Hand wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's Raish. So, I think he's gone now, right?
That's what it appears like. I mean, it really... I don't see how they can reconstitute from ashes. I mean...
Yeah.
I just don't know, but... The whole, you know, he realizes that he's not really whole, and that brings him to Babs.
Right.
And so, you know, no, I was just fooling you with the talk about the tapestry earlier.
Yeah, he wasn't, he was going to kill her, right?
Yeah, and so, but he realizes that he just doesn't have all that he had before, so he needs... her in his life to have that full, you know, being able to look to the future.
Right.
And I love that they brought that in so that it would, you know, bring all these pieces back into play that, you know, that Barbara was the one that reforged the knife, that, you know, that alliance that she kind of built around herself.
Now, does she have the full Death's Head now? Is she the Death's Head?
I don't see. That's what I don't know, because he maybe had part and she had part, but I don't know that there was any transfer from him to her.
She was holding the knife.
Yeah, but you know, but Bruce was too. So.
I know. So yeah. But if she has part of it when the knife goes in, it could be anywhere. But I'd be willing to bet that she has all of it now.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here, because you've got the... the league wanting, you know, like, well, Roz is gone now. You did a good job taking him out. We're going to work for you.
Right. And of course, fortuitously, that's when Bab shows up and says, he killed Butch.
Yeah.
And that's when Bab says, well, guess what? Men suck. Let's start with you guys. You're out. And they take out the League of Assassins.
Make it a literal no man's land in the Sirens.
That's right. Yeah, no man's land means a lot of things in this episode. Yeah, they're all about the girl power in Sirens. And so she has the Ladies League of Assassins, as it were. And I think that's going to be super interesting next season, especially if she is essentially Ra's al Ghul.
Right. It's going to be interesting because, once again, we did not see Ivy, but Ivy could be roped in here because of, you know, the whole women's, you know, Sirens area, and so they could bring that in there. There's just a lot of possibilities.
Right.
Here
and
with...
they've got access to grind with Oswald, with Jeremiah, definitely.
Yeah, Jeremiah's still AWOL.
Right.
Ugh.
So, yeah, they've got some serious access to grind.
And right.
I'm guessing they won't be too pleased with the police force. Once they know that they probably could have interceded a little better to make the city safer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's going to be some huge issues there.
Yeah, it was just, this storyline was so cool. And I loved the cinematography on this show is so amazing. But just the visual spot where this kind of final battle takes place.
Right. Up in the building, the empty floor in the building, is that?
Right. Yeah. You know, kind of under construction. It harkens you back to The Dark Knight that way. It harkens you back to Fight Club. Just the lights hanging, the reflection, being able to see out and see the bridges go. The cinematography and the shots in this episode were just so cool, the way they set stuff up. And even, you know, how they had Jeremiah in the cell and you have the Joker's eyes in that cell.
Yep.
They just did an amazing job with the cinematography in this episode.
It's like a movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that scene where all the bridges are going and they're looking mm-hmm. out of the windows. And it's like, okay, we might all have our differences, but right now we got to go and take care of things.
Yeah, that line of folks just in awe of what's happening outside those right. windows.
Right. And so they all kind of split off and they decide, mm-hmm. you know, I could arrest you right now because you've done so many terrible things, but I'm off. You know, because Oswald was there, Babs is there, you know.
You know, you have Bruce and Alfred heading out immediately to the hospital.
Right.
And you know, it's just it's like, once again, it's every person for themselves. They're going out to look for the people that they care about and mm-hmm. taking the opportunity to see what's going on. And, yep. you know, so it's so good.
Yeah, I agree. And off they went. And that just everything standing still mm-hmm. when the bridges were going was stunning, I thought.
Yeah, I like the fact, you know, you have this army major coming in being Jim's foil, but really providing the voice from the outside to say, you know, that, you know, Gotham up until that point was not forgotten. We're introducing martial law. We've got to take things back because you haven't been doing a good enough job. And then at the end saying, listen, everybody's leaving. Come on. You know, and it's like, you know, this is really going to be cut off. You're not going to get any help. And Jim and his crew are like, nope, we're going to stay. We're going to make sure that, you know, people are safe. So yeah, good.
That guy was really making me mad. I don't know about you, but he was. That was Malik Yoba. Or Malik Yoba.
Okay.
He was on Designated Survivor, let's see, Empire. I know I've seen him in a million things. Revolution.
Okay.
Alphas. He was on Alphas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was in an episode of Person of Interest. Speaking of which, that building reminds me of Person of Interest, too. They did a lot of stuff on Defying mm-hmm. Gravity, Girlfriends, Rain's Thieves. Anyway, he's been in a lot of things, but man, when he was talking to them and then, you know, they arrest Jim, and they take him away, I'm like, okay, you're a doucheweed. I was thinking, okay, you're going to get yours later yeah. on because you don't arrest Jim and get away with it for long.
No.
And then later on, when they know that the bombs are going to be on the bridges,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, no, the evacuation stands. Arrest this man. And everybody cocks their guns at him. I thought, right, this yeah. is where you get your comeuppance, sir.
But what I loved about that little bit is the police officers took their lead from Harvey.
Yep.
Just that little bit from last week where they've come to appreciate and respect him again, and they took his lead.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh, yeah.
Right. And they would have been there behind James as well, but I think it was Harvey giving that last little nod,
mm-hmm.
saying, yeah, come on. We got to stand behind this guy.
Right.
You know, exactly. He's right. So, yeah, that's get everyone off the bridges. And, you know, of course they didn't because the evacuation order didn't come in time, but yeah, they got a lot of people off,
right,
including that poor little girl who's probably there without her parents because she's just standing there, you know, halfway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, Jim's got to be the big damn hero. That's the trope name again. I mean, I've said it a million times, but he's got to go and save the little girl because mm-hmm. that's the trope. And I loved that little beat in this episode because mm-hmm. He is our Batman essentially in mm-hmm. in this season. Just crazy good. And of course the city's cut off, which is yeah. what we assumed No Man's Land was going to be. So if you've read the comic or the novel or whatever that I recommended you read, you know exactly where this is headed. And as they set up, it is pretty much going to be chaos in the coming last season, which I cannot wait to see. I mean, I'm sad it's going to be the last season, but mm-hmm. man, it's going to take us on a roller coaster ride, I think.
Yeah, it is. You have each of these people. I mean, we got this thing. I had read beforehand that you kind of normally you get the big climax in the last act, but they had it kind of in the next to the last because yeah. they had this breaking apart of the territory mm-hmm. with all these different groups. And I really like that because
so good.
It set the stage for next season. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know if we're going to get a time jump or not, but it's going to be interesting because you've got each of these different people dividing up sections of the city.
Right.
Penguin's moving into City Hall.
Right.
You've got Mr. Freeze. You've got yeah. Firefly. You've got
right.
You've even got Scarecrow. It's like, oh goodness.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, here we go. No boys allowed. That's of mm-hmm. course the sirens.
And right.
they really made a statement by putting up the little, you know, clubhouse sign with the League of Assassins being, you know, nailed up outside.
Mm-hmm.
The Saviors, to steal a line from The Walking Dead. And that is, of course, our police force and mm-hmm. Bruce Wayne. The Iceman Stayeth. That is, you know, Mr. Freeze. Ring of Fire, that's Firefly. She uses mm-hmm. that line, Ring of Fire. Gas bag, which would be the Scarecrow. And man, he is terrifying.
Yeah, those glowing eyes. Mm. It's like, oh, golly.
Better than the movie Scarecrow. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He is just, ugh. Strange bedfellow. That's Hugo, who was still in the city. And he was part of that little territory carving montage at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Little orphan needs a nanny. Now, this was the masked woman and child.
Right.
They are called mother and orphan. And they're going to be interesting to see.
They were extremely frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, that scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. Even before I saw orphan, just seeing
the mask.
Well, I mean, even the lady walking in that outfit, it was just like very spectral
yeah.
and scary. And then you see Orphan
yeah,
with
they're
his
weird.
Little hatchet, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're weird. Cassandra Cain, I think, is the name of one of the orphans, but this won't be Cassandra Cain. It's a male, obviously. Yeah. The orphan in this case. Spreading his wings. That's Man Bat.
Ooh.
Yeah, he looks good. And I have heard, although she was not in the montage at the end, we are also going to get Lady Shiva next season.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that is going to be a bevy of awesomeness, I think.
Yeah, and so do you I really think that we're going to get a time jump.
I think so, too, even if it's just a few months.
Because that will give David the chance to grow.
A little bit, yeah. And yeah, because, maybe beef up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's going to have to really get ready. I mean, he's going to have to do some hard work. And I don't know if we're going to get immediately get Alfred back. You know, that's very interesting of Alfred. You know, he's going to make sure. And I like the fact that Bruce really, you know, was kind of split two ways, but having Alfred go with her at this point, he felt confident that he could stay, that he wanted Alfred to go. As much as he wants Alfred to be there with him, he wanted to make sure Selena was safe. And so I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with Selena and how they're going to get Alfred back across to Gotham.
I'm guessing they both come back. That he brings Selena back. And I think that Bruce, in sending Alfred, assumes that Alfred is an extension of himself.
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Now, whether Selena thinks that as well is a whole different ball of wax. I don't think she'll be super angry, but I don't think she'll be thrilled either.
No, I don't think so either, because she doesn't have a full understanding of what went on, and so she's going to have that that distrust, a little bit of distrust, because she doesn't understand.
Well, yeah, feeling abandoned a little bit.
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, in the Saviors carving issue, that is Harvey,
Lucius.
James Lucius at the precinct, a lot of the cops that stayed behind. James decides, after Lucius gets the power on, to go up to the roof and to make a beacon of light.
A beacon of hope.
For anyone who might need saving in the city. And who is attracted by a beam of light that goes up into the sky but Bruce Wayne? And
that's right.
Oh, man, oh, man. When I saw, this is what I was alluding to last week when I said, go look at next week's promo pics, because that was part of the promo package. And I was so excited. I couldn't wait to see where this came in. And man, this was so great.
Yeah, I mean, I love that image. It's the cover art for this podcast episode, because it just is so powerful. The dialogue between the two of them there, kind of bringing things full circle and just talking about, yes, it's calling out to, you know, as a challenge to those evildoers, but it's a beacon of hope for those who need it. And just the coming about that, knowing Bruce is not just this poor lost kid anymore. He's come a long way, and Jim's starting to see that. So
so good. And also, that's, you know, that's the setting up of of, now, we all know it's the bat signal, but I mean, it's the setting up of him saying, when we need you, we're going to put this in the sky. And, it, you know, it's that he says beacon of hope here. And it's this whole subtext of, I'm going to remember that this conversation happened. And this is the nod to the fact that I will know you're Bruce Wayne, but I'm not going to admit that I know you're Bruce, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to talk about this light being a beacon of hope and it being the bat signal, and you're going to get that I know you're Bruce Wayne. But, you know, so there's going to be this kind of, that's their nonverbal communication with each other,
right?
That, you know, hey, I get who you are, but I can't admit it, because then I'd be colluding with a vigilante, which I can't do. So yeah, it's just, it's a lot of subtext in that one conversation, and it's telegraphing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, is that they're setting up this whole thing. Even if they don't bring it in to next season, it's literally setting up Batman.
Right, exactly. And I appreciate the fact that, like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, that while this, we're glad that this is not the last episode, they did it right, you know, of setting things up for the future. And this is a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been like, okay, we get it. I mean, we know where things went in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can just go read the comics if we want to see how things shook out.
Right.
Yeah. So if it was canceled, I would have cried. Don't get me wrong.
It was very stressful for me last weekend and last Monday. It was, ooh.
Mm. Yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't have been so despondent. I mean, this wouldn't have been like the finale that broke the camel's back, as it were.
Right.
Yeah. So they did a great job of kind of hedging their bets. Of saying, okay, let's give them something super exciting to set up for next season if we get it. Mm-hmm. But if we don't get it, it's also amazingly exciting. And they won't be too mad at us.
Right.
So I think they did a great job there. I really do. And I know a lot of people said, oh, if they didn't get another season, this would have been a huge mistake. I honestly don't see that. I really don't.
I don't either. I really don't, because... Yeah, it set things up, and it really set things up for next season. But I don't see it, because Gotham has always had these ups and downs. I mean, we talked about it in the movies, where you have it being on the edge and ups and downs, and it takes people to bring it back. So I don't see that. I really don't.
Yeah. And, you know, it has a mythos already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't know Batman mythos, why are you watching the show? You know, if you don't know what Batman does after this, go read No Man's Land.
There you go. And then
read it anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they're going to do something different, but you'll get the gist. All right. So I don't think I missed anything huge.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Yeah, okay. So, on to the feedback?
And just for good measure?
Yeah. Awesome. Viewer discretion is advised. Awesome. So, Bat Jordan again?
Yes. So, this is his post-show feedback. Here we go.
Hey, you got some undercover. This is Bat Jordan again, calling from Georgia. Already left you guys a pre-show feedback, but here is my post-show feedback regarding the season finale of season 4, No Man's Land. I loved this episode. I thought it was amazing. First of all, I had to mentally prepare myself for the beginning because I knew it was following up that devastating ending to last episode. Seeing Bruce with Selina at the hospital, I mean, it was just devastating, but I loved that scene that we saw before in the promo, and I loved the parallel to last week. Episode where we had the beautiful line of Selina telling Bruce, I'm going to be here whenever you need me. And then this episode, Selina asked Bruce, she's like, you're not going to leave me, are you? And he said, no, I'm going to be right here. And I thought that was just such a beautiful parallel, really showing how much they love each other, how much they care about each other. Again, the great Batcat scene. My really only complaint with this episode is that we didn't get any. We had so much great, amazing Batcat moment. Last episode, I talked about how it was in my pre-show feedback. I talked about how we got three of the greatest live action Batcat scenes ever in one episode, and in this episode, obviously, Selina was fighting for her life the whole time. We didn't get much of that. We did get, of course, I was really hoping in that scene that Bruce was going to, I was like, Bruce, get in the ambulance with your future wife and go with her, but obviously we knew he wasn't going to do that because he has to protect Gotham, but that's what I was wanting him to do. But I did love how he sent Alfred, and he was like, I need you to go because I need to make sure she's okay. Again, showing how much Bruce loves Selina. As a huge Batcat shipper, I love that. The stuff with Jeremiah was amazing in this episode. I particularly loved the scene that was a great homage to The Dark Knight in the interrogation room between Bruce and Jeremiah. Cameron Monaghan continues to kill it, and so does David Mazouz. He just was amazing in that scene. Towards the end of the episode, of course, we saw all the villains taking up their turfs for No Man's Land. It's really exciting at the end of this episode, seeing that happen, and seeing the proto-bat signal, with likely the first of many rooftop meetings between Bruce and Gordon. I mean, that scene really gave me chills, and I mean, it's going to be a while, because obviously we just found out Gotham's not coming back till the mid-season next year, but I mean, I'm so excited. This is going to be a long wait, but I cannot wait for season 5 now. This was such a great ending to season 4. So yeah, I guess I will talk to you guys next season. Take care, and Batcat forever, from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you think he likes Catwoman and Batman together?
Maybe just a smidge.
Just a little. Yeah. I'm not making fun, because I think they're my favorite ship ever on this show.
Yeah, indeed. And I really like what he brought up about the bookends with their, mm-hmm. their calling out to each other that they would be there for each other. I really appreciate that.
And I love that, even though he knows he cannot be there, he sends Alfred. Because that is the very next best thing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think Selina is going to be a little miffed by that. But I think she's also going to get it. Like, if Bruce thinks to send his right-hand man, this guy that he loves, then, at least he's thinking of me. Again, I still think she's going to have some issues with that, but I think deep down she's going to realize that he cares. So, again, they're dysfunctional, so there's going to be some issues. Okay, Chris and his feedback. Hi, Chris. Jeremiah didn't exactly seem terrified by the GCPD's attempt to intimidate him by dragging the nightsticks across the cell bars, did he? I like the little wave he gave Jim and Alfred. Yeah. If you ever watched Life After People, Gotham City Hall collapsing after the bomb reminded me of that.
Mm.
I have, actually, and it did.
Yep.
Jim's interrogation/beatdown of Jeremiah was very reminiscent of Batman interrogating the Joker in The Dark Knight. Yeah, that's been mentioned a few times, and it is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that Jeremiah was humming Beethoven's Ode to Joy as Gordon left?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yep. Kind of like Hans Gruber in Die Hard. Remember that Hans planted bombs all over the Nakatomi building, too. Bullock, can you please tell this Ponce to let us go, please? Now Jeremiah is full on Hannibal Lecter. Closer, please. Closer. Is exactly what Dr. Lecter said to Starling at their first meeting. Mm-hmm. Gotham Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. I like that Oswald was playing the long con this whole time. Yep. Mm. Selina as Oracle? Question mark. Yeah, please no. I mean, I love Oracle, but no. When Bruce told Alfred to stay with Selina, was it just me, or was the music similar to the end of The Dark Knight when Batman told Gordon that he had to go into hiding?
Oh, interesting.
I'm not sure, but there were themes in the music last week and this week that were similar to the movies, so could be. The only thing in this episode that fell flat for me was Firefly. Her plays on words about fire reminded me a little too much of Arnold's Mr. Freeze ice puns. Well,
Yeah.
Not hell. Hell is what's coming. Mm-hmm. I love Gotham's take on Scarecrow. Excellent look and one of the most terrifying things in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
What is Strange going to do with Ed and Lee? Yeah, right? Proto-bat signal! Man bat! And then we have who I guess is mother and orphan as the only things in the finale scarier than the Scarecrow. Those masks give me the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, an excellent episode and everything I wanted in the season finale. I am not a huge fan of the Firefly scene, but I have to give the episode 10 out of 10 exploding bridges. Can't wait until next season. Everyone was very good in this episode, so I have to do an Oprah impression and say, you get a set of Batmobile keys, and you get a set of Batmobile keys, and you get... I have to admit, I was never a huge fan of Butch. I didn't dislike him like I did others. Ms. Mooney, I'm looking in your direction. The character was just kind of meh for me. I did, however, love every second of Drew Powell as Grundy, and Gotham will feel a little emptier with him gone. Kudos for putting over Penguin on the way out. Butch's death showed that Oswald is not a bumbling wannabe mob boss, but the cold, calculating, murderous sociopath we all want the Penguin to be. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everyone. Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris, awesome feedback, as mm-hmm. usual.
Yeah. And now we have a report from our eye in the sky, Green Butterfly. Yay!
Yay!
Scott Cougar, X-Force, do you read? Can you hear me? This is your eye in the sky, Green Butterfly. I have seen the light and have come flying over to help the good people still left in Gotham. I know you'll still be here, too. The trick will be finding where you are. This episode was very dark and hard to watch, but it had to be. The writer simply took the story where it was headed, where it needed to go. So I can't deduct points for the fact that I was scared out of my mind. I think I might be having nightmares about the Scarecrow all summer, guys. So the episode was called No Man's Land, huh? Looks as though Barbara has made a no man's land of her own. But that is just one part of the city, each part taken over by one of those legion of horribles that went to that mandatory brunch meeting a few weeks ago. I wonder who Chris will give the Batmobile keys to. I'm giving them to Jim. He is the VIP of the episode for me. This episode gets 10 out of 10 lights to defeat the darkness. Karen and Jeff, thank you so much for all your hard work on the podcast this year, filling me in on all that comics knowledge and letting me know what happened in the episode when I closed my eyes due to violence. Thank you so much for your dedication to the city of Gotham. Undercover agents, I hope you have a super summer. I would say catch you same bat time, same bat channel. And I know it will be the same channel, but I'm not sure about the time. So let Green Butterfly know, okay? I'll keep my eyes to the sky. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
Awesome.
Indeed.
Hey. I'm glad she's thinking of us. And making yeah. sure we're okay. We are okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah. We made it out of the city. I may have to go back if I see that light in the sky, though.
Yeah, definitely. So we got a written feedback from Daryl. Daryl said, love the finale. I really don't know what they're going to do with Selina. Everything seems to point to Oracle, except for her name is Selina Kyle. Right. Personally, I'd rather see her as Oracle Batgirl because I love the chemistry she has with Bruce so much.
Daryl!
Next season can't get here fast enough. Gotham is now totally in the control of the Arkham gang and Hugo Strange's creation, which is terrifyingly awesome. I'm really curious about what Hugo will do with Lee and Ed. I mean, Ed will presumably just be a more deranged Riddler, but Lee could become anything at the hands of Hugo and will probably be quite different than any version of Leslie Tompkins we have seen so far in the DC universe. Perhaps her love for the downtrodden will break through and end up being a savior at some point next season. That's a good thought. And I love the sneak peek they gave us with some new villains, including Orphan and Mother. To me, there's no doubt that this is Martin and Sophia. Ooh, interesting theory. Yeah. If I remember correctly, the last we heard about Sophia was that she was in a coma. So I expect her to return at some point, and this would seem perfect. Ooh, that's an interesting theory.
That's a good call.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then we had some voicemail from Christopher. So take it away, Christopher.
Hey, this is Christopher calling from New York State with feedback for Gotham Undercover. I am leaving feedback for the finale, 422, No Man's Land. And I just want to say that there were some really great scenes in this episode, and there were some things about this episode that I really liked, but I do feel somewhat disappointed. I feel kind of cheated. I feel like a lot of things were teased that didn't come to fruition. I was just expecting this really, really cataclysmic, apocalyptic events to happen in this episode, and it really didn't. I mean, yes, we saw bridges explode, but compare that to the vision that Raish had near the end of episode 419, nothing in comparison. You know, so I was just expecting to see the city in flames, to see it burn to the ground, basically, and we really didn't see that. So I feel kind of cheated. I feel like this could have been a lot bigger and a lot more epic than it was. But one thing that I really liked about this finale is that I feel like it's really setting the stage for the end. I feel like, for example, it was announced recently that we're going to see Bruce transform into Batman in season 5 finally, and I think that that was definitely teased in this finale, especially when Bruce was kind of going thug to thug, demanding where Jeremiah is, and kind of doing so in a deep and gruff voice. I feel like that was definitely teasing Batman, and then of course the light. So this definitely was setting the stage for season 5, which I think is going to be a really great final season, and I'm excited. But yeah, I just feel kind of cheated. I feel like this really didn't end on a humongous cliffhanger like Cameron Monaghan teased in that interview, at least not as big as I was expecting. So anyway, I'm rambling on. That's really all that I wanted to say. Good finale. It really was, but I just kind of was expecting a lot more and felt a little disappointed.
Well, yeah, it wasn't the actual No Man's Land storyline, and so yeah, so you know, it's kind of misleading maybe a little bit that way, but I thought it did a good job setting up for next season.
Right. At least he agrees with us that it wasn't the biggest cliffhanger ever.
Yeah. Agreed.
But, yeah. It would have been, I think, a little weird to have the whole city set on fire. But I did like that they cut it off, that they cut off the city.
Well, and two, you think about it, if Jeremiah would have succeeded, then some of that vision might have come to pass.
Right.
Because of the buildings coming down to form the maze and that kind of stuff. So It could have been that was what Roz was seeing. And so, you know, it's obviously going to change because of that being taken out of the equation. Right. But, we'll see.
We will. But thanks, Christopher. Excellent feedback. I dig it. And thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, we had to get John in here, our Silver Vox. And be forewarned, he left us a long feedback, but he deserves to since he's helped us out so much this season. So take a listen to what John has to say.
Hello, Karen and Jeff. Jeff and Karen, this is John, a.k.a. The Silver Vox. And I wanted to leave my feedback for this episode and just a quick wrap-up of Season 4 for Gotham Undercover. I can't say enough how much I appreciate you guys inviting me along the ride here and there, and this has been a tremendous season. Let me talk about this episode for just a minute. No Man's Land, I give this episode 9.5 burned bridges. There were only two very small nitpicks that I had with this episode, and it's just that they hit me wrong. The first was that Yed and Lee at the end, they're stabbing each other and kissing each other. It was almost too Gotham for Gotham. I mean, you know what I'm saying? the other piece that just really threw me out for a little bit was Oswald coming up back and shooting Butch. I I'll talk about this more in a minute, but my problem with this is that I felt like it was too petty even for Oswald Cobblepot, and I felt like It threw me out of the tone of the episode, and I was just taken away from it. And anyway, so didn't like to see those two things, but man, what a wrap-up episode. And what I love about Jeremiah is that this is definitely not going to be the Joker, but the cold, soulless, Ness about Jeremiah is what makes him, I think, such an effective and workable villain. He's nothing but a machine in some ways, in terms of how calculating and just nothing there but the planning and the mind and the utter destruction that he is after. And so what a display for that. And again, hats off to Alexander Siddig as Raish. I thought this has been such an effective use of the character and an amazing use of the actor. So with that being said, let me take just a couple of minutes and wrap up what I think are some really standout things, good and bad, about season four of Gotham. Let's go with who I think the best villain of the season has been, and that has definitely been Professor Pig. It's just a wonderful portrayal by Michael Cerveris, and just that arc with him was powerful, had me on the edge of my seat. I remember Jeff and I discussing it and how I remember saying I would take a little bit of Pig throughout years and years and years, and I really wish they had figured out a way to keep his character arc going. The best sidekick of the season has definitely been Wendell, aka Headhunter. How y'all doing? Good to see you, man. The best character arc I think that I've seen this season is definitely Bruce. When we started him out at the beginning of this season, he started his Batman persona with the cowl, and or not the full cowl, but the get up and taking on vigilante justice, and what we've seen him go through with Raish, the way he's interacted with Jerome and Jeremiah, taking on personal ownership of Gotham, even Party Bruce, who we were all annoyed with, the way David Mazouz and the what Bruce has gone through this season, I think, has been significant and really, really, really well done. The worst character arc, I think, that in my opinion, for season four has been Oswald and Penguin. And this kind of goes back to where I started with in my opinion about No Man's Land here. Penguin, to me, he's not really progressed at all. Like, we've not seen anything else in him this season other than just losing his stuff at every opportunity because things aren't going his way. So I hope we get a little bit more character development in him. I know we had the things with Sophia and kind of appealing to his softer side and the things with Martine, but overall, I was left with Penguin really kind of as a flat character for me this season, and I was sorry to see that because, again, I think the actor does an amazing job. The wasted character arc that I think we've had in season four has been Sophia Falcone. I think bringing her in was an inspired choice, but what they were able to do with her, and I think most importantly, there was nothing that once she was gone, there was nothing that she left besides this sort of guilt in Jim that had a lasting effect on the situation in Gotham, on the situation of our characters. And Jim got over that pretty quickly once he resolved things with Harvey. And I think her time here on the series was kind of for naught when it's all said and done. Finally, let's talk about the best character relationships. I think this season has been stellar for Gordon and Bullock. We've said it over and over and over again. These two have had incredible dynamics together, building each other, maturing each other, challenging each other appropriately. Bullock especially, I think, has stepped up in time after time after time, especially as we got to see his redemption arc last episode with in One Bad Day. Fantastic work by Donald Logue. Have just enjoyed every time these two have had screen time together. And lastly, Bruce and Selina. I so enjoy any time we get to see these two because their relationship has gone from playful to dependent to serious to not to enemy to, I mean, it's been all over the place this season. And Mazouz and Bykondova, she has done amazing work with the time that they've had, and I've just really, really enjoyed this, and I hope that we'll get to see somewhat more of this. I know now with where No Man's Land ended, you know, she's going to be taken away and he's not going to be there. So he's not fulfilled his promise. And so that's probably what, if you'll pardon the pun, burns that bridge. But all that being said, this season of Gotham has been just utterly fantastic. Usually by season four, a lot of shows tend to start sort of coasting and, you know, kind of just toeing the line of their stories and their characters. This Gotham has continued to grow season after season after season, and it gets better and better and better and better. I can't believe there's even a question of whether there was going to be a season five, and I'm so glad that Bruno Heller and his crew have been given the green light for season five and are going to be able to end this series in on their terms and in the way that they want to. Can't wait until we get back. I guess it's going to be mid-season or more until we get back to Gotham. Cannot wait. And for you, Karen and Jeff, Jeff and Karen, to allow me to be any part of this journey with you guys has been a thrill. Thank you so much. And I can't wait for us to either hang out in the summer sun like we did last season maybe, or until we get back to season five. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Thanks, John.
Thanks. Oh, yeah.
Such great feedback. I like his little, award ceremony there. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like I said, you know, I really like the points that, you know, he made, especially about how some shows tend to coast once you get to mm-hmm. a certain point, and that's just not been the case. And that
it's been the opposite.
It's gotten better every season.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that people are pushing and wanting to go. And I don't know why people, you know, are not watching in the numbers there, just because it's not the canon that they're used to or what the situation is, but because the acting and everything else, the storylines have just been so good and they've just kept getting better.
Well, if you look at the shows that are getting ratings, it's things that are familiar to people and also shows that, like, they cost nothing. You know, reality TV and then like the Chicago shows and things like that, shows where people can just jump in. And you know that I don't begrudge people watching those shows. That's fine. But it's sad sometimes because there's something about immersing yourself in a huge, big, epic story that mm-hmm. I miss.
And the fact of the matter of, we've had challenges every season.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the last three seasons, we have had split seasons with another show in our time slot.
Yep.
We have moved days. We've been put up against juggernauts of TV that have been on for years.
Yep.
And so, you know, we have all these challenges and, you know, we're still that the audience is still coming for it. It's just, it's so other people are missing out. And, mm-hmm. and I hope people will take the chance to go back and watch some of this show later and really see what they missed when it first came out.
Yeah, I agree. I hope so, too. And I think this is going to be one of those shows that people say, why didn't I watch that when it was on? I really do. And mm-hmm. It's cool, though, that we're going to get a fifth season and they're going to be able to wrap it up how they want, mm-hmm. Because not a lot of shows get that.
No, I appreciate the fact that, you know, and while I'm not thrilled that it's going to be the last season, I am thrilled that we know that it's going to be the last season and everybody can take the time to prepare. And with it being on mid-season, there's been, you know, we're kind of jumping into the news, but there's been no official episode count listed. But right. Most people are thinking 13 to get us to 100 because syndication likes that.
Right.
But I think with that type of tight arc and the time that the writers and the producers have, they can really make those 13 episodes shine and take what they have done so well over the past four seasons, really the past three after the first, and really amp it up. Because you look at the actors that they brought in and how the actors have grown and the guest stars that have come in for just an episode or two to say, hey, we're doing this final season of 13 episodes. We would love to have you come in as X. Would you be willing to do that? And you can see what other people can have done with their roles, and you're going to get people who are jumping at the chance to do that, like Michael did this season. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really hopeful for what they can do. For me, as this being my first show that I podcasted about, last weekend was really stressful for me because, I was not ready to let go of Gotham, but I was not ready to let go of the show.
Right.
And you, unfortunately, have had to go through that process before.
Over and over and over, yeah. One time I was like, please cancel it. Please. Please. Under the Dome, of course, is the one I'm talking about. And of course, it did not go my way one year. As much as I loved podcasting with Doug, I knew we would find something else to podcast about. But I was like, please, please just cancel it, please. And then, yay, renewed for a third season. And we had said, you know, we'll continue to podcast until the end. So, yeah, that was the only time I had ever, like, you know, kind of not rooted for a show. But otherwise, I've really, you know, been on edge. And I still, right now, I'm on edge because we're waiting for Timeless. Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, if that does not come back again, I'm going to riot. I'm going to cut someone because that also deserves another season. And it's crazy that these shows that have amazing, you know, storylines, arcs, in Timeless's case, a learning component to it.
Mm-hmm.
Great family viewing, and there's nothing like it on TV. I just don't understand why it's not just an automatic renewal. So.
Right. And part of it too for us is, you know, being a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
While we've got you wonderful listeners who give us feedback, who participate with Facebook, we are part of just a huge community on Twitter and other places, Instagram, and it's just there are so many people out there that really enjoy the show, and connecting with those folks, be they regular viewers, be they podcasters, being people who've been involved in the production of the show, whether it's acting or behind the scenes, is really cool to be a part of, and something that we didn't have years ago. But it makes it all that much harder when there's going to be a separation because of the show ending.
It is. It's very difficult. So it is. It's going to be great that we're back together next season. And I'm sure there's going to be stuff for us to do over the summer, at least one or two podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
There's the book that's coming out.
Yeah, it comes out the end of this month.
Right. Even if we don't get the arc, I'll get us copies to read. And we'll do a podcast about that. And we may do a pre-show before the season comes out. And if any big news comes out as well.
Well, yeah, we've gotten some Gotham adjacent news.
Have we?
So we have the fact that Gotham City, not our Gotham, but Gotham City and Batwoman are going to appear on and be introduced on the Berlantiverse shows, on the Flareoverse shows. So that's going to be very interesting. The December crossover is going to have bring in Batwoman.
Yeah. And, I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be...
Do we need to junk it up with more things?
I don't know. And see, I think it's a way to say... Yeah, this is Gotham is there, and so I don't know about that. So that was some of the news, but the news that I was more thrilled to see was Pennyworth.
Yes, now that I am happy about.
So we have some of the producers of Gotham doing an Epix, which is a cable network, a series of cable networks that they've had some original programming, but not a ton. But they have picked up Pennyworth. And basically, this will tell Alfred's story after he got out of the SAS and when he's first introduced to Thomas Wayne. It's in the 60s. It's not going to be in the Gotham verse. And it's not, unfortunately, going to have any crossover actor-wise there, but with Mr. Pertwee. But... just the fact that these guys who have known and loved Gotham and the characters of taking this storyline and parts of Alfred's life, which has not seen a ton of light of day, and bringing that in is going to be exciting to see.
Yeah, I love that. And that's not to say it's not going to be a take on our Alfred either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be because it's the same showrunners.
Right.
Which is cool, actually. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
And if it has anything to do with that, the storyline from that book that we read.
Oh, yeah.
And reviewed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might want to put a link to that podcast in our blog post.
Yeah, I will, because that book, Jason's book, first book, really told you some of that backstory. And so this can kind of be a more fill-in version. And we've gotten to see some in the Gotham, too, where Alfred's talked about it. So,
but I found that book fascinating. Learning about Alfred and Mr. Wayne, their relationship. That was really great, I thought. And I can't wait to read the next book.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we don't know what night of the week that we're going to be on.
Nope.
Next.
It's
next
a crapshoot.
Yeah, I'm still betting on Thursday because football will be over by that time. It may still be on Thursday nights. If it's still on Thursday nights, we'll have, you know, similar feedback deadlines and things like that. If it's not on Thursday, then we're obviously going to have to adjust.
Sure.
It's going to be good. We're going to be excited to be back.
Yes, definitely. So just to keep you in the loop. Mm-hmm. We are still, as always, on Facebook as Gotham Undercover, so look for us there. Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, Gotham GSM.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give you our feedback info, but, you know, we're not going to play feedback anytime soon, most likely. Mm-hmm. And you can subscribe to us or any other GSM podcast by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to any of our Gotham Undercover episodes, any other podcast on our network.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, if you go to our Facebook page or Twitter, we'll have announcements of any special episodes, any Gotham news, any of that sort. If you see anything, feel free to post it there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of fan interaction, a lot of our listeners, and we consider you guys our friends as well, which is awesome. You know, join the page
indeed.
And we'll chat with you. We've had a few people join and go, oh my God, you guys talk to us. Yeah, we talk to you. We're just people. No, there's no separation of church and state there. We are just like you. So yeah, we have a good time in there. We joke around and chat and all that. So we'll be doing that all this summer, talking with you guys and discussing theories and talking about any news that comes up. If there's any plans for us to do a podcast over the summer, it'll be, you know, we'll set it up there, let you guys know on Facebook and on Twitter and all the other platforms and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So. All that.
Yes, indeed. And we look forward to talking to you.
Yes,
so
I can't
until
wait.
Then, catch us on Facebook.